नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तदा शुचिवनोद्भूतो दावाग्निः सर्वतो व्रजम् सुप्तं निशीत आवृत्य प्रदग्धुम् उपचक्रमे।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज होलीनेस प्रभुपाद। During the night, while all the people of Vrindavan were asleep, a great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest. The fire surrounded the inhabitants of Raj on all sides and began to scorch them. Purport. Srila Sanatan Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have commented that perhaps a loyal friend of Kali had assumed the form of a forest fire to avenge his friend, or perhaps the forest fire was manifest by a demon who was a follower of Kamsa's. Oh Krishna, so we are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 17, text 21. First of all, I seek the blessings of all the devotees and all the Vaishnavas sitting here in the audience who are more exalted than me and who are more capable of doing justice to the topic under discussion. So I beg for everybody's blessings to be able to speak a few words on this subject. The verse that we have just now read actually reflects how situations in life can change all of a sudden. There is a phrase in English language, bolt from the blue. Suddenly, a situation can change from tranquil to the turbulent. So this can happen suddenly, all of a sudden. So we find here that the Brajavasis have just been subjected to a very torturous situation. They have passed through the trauma of seeing Krishna in the coils of the poisonous Kaliya, fearing that any moment Kaliya would bite him. Of course, the fear was misfounded. They knew that all along, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, had not only saved the Vrajavasis, but also saved himself incidentally. But nevertheless, they were afraid. So this was a very traumatic situation for the Vrajavasis. And then they also saw how very suddenly Krishna extricated himself from the coils of Kaliya and later on started dancing on the bejeweled hoods of Kaliya, ecstatically. So from pain to pleasure, from pleasure to pain, this is the way of life. So this is how, you know, life is all about. So anyway, so we find here that the Vrajavasis have been subjected. In fact, this has been their situation all along. Every time a demon would come, sent by Kamsa, they would be very fearful, and then Krishna would just, you know, send them to the other world, dispatch them to the other world, then they would again be joyous. So they totally identified themselves with what happened to the Supreme Lord. Though, you know, they knew that Krishna would save all of them, still there was lurking fear in their hearts. This is a natural tendency for a living entity. So we read here in the earlier verse that the Vrajavasis actually were very weak from hunger and thirst and fatigue. So though ideally they would have gone back to their own homes to take rest, people sometimes say that you can take rest only in your own abode, not elsewhere. But here the Vrajavasis wanted the association of Krishna, and that was paramount importance to them. And therefore they decided to stay the night on the banks of river Yamuna in the proximity of their beloved Krishna. This was their natural propensity, and they decided to spend the night there on the bank of river Yamuna. And they were so tired, so fatigued, soon they fell asleep. And then as they were asleep, then what happened? Sudden transition. In sleep, you know, you are lost to the world. You don't know what has happened. You don't know what you have eaten. You don't know what is going to happen. You are blissful in sleep. That is, provided you can sleep. There are people who have to take sleeping pills to sleep. But if you can sleep and fall into slumber, even sometimes after great tiredness, even a 5 minutes, you know, sleep relaxes you. So this is how it is. So here they were fast asleep. And then what happened? Davagnihi sarvato vrajam. Suddenly, the Vrajavasis were surrounded on all sides by a blazing forest fire. It was a sudden transition from happiness of sleep, if you call happiness in sleep, to this immediate danger that was lurking there for them. I remember several years ago when I was in the university, there was a very similar disaster that took place in Bhopal. Many people may not have, some of you may not have been born, but definitely this Bhopal tragedy was a great tragedy. It was not due to outbreak of a fire. It was due to the leakage of a, you know, huge tanker which was contained, you know, methyl isocyanate, which was used for manufacture of a pesticide called Sevin. All the Bhopal, the residents of Bhopal, were suddenly exposed to the poison of this particular, you know, drug. And people started coughing, they had nausea. Many people had miserable deaths. It was an unprecedented disaster. All of a sudden it happened. Nobody knew it was going to happen, and it happened. So this is devastation, you know, suddenly caused. And to this day, the inquiries are afloat about, you know, who did what. But the main culprit went back to US. He was forgiven by the government, so he's no more there. He's not in India anymore. So this is how it happens. So disasters suddenly strike. And this is how, here also we find that Davagnihi sarvato vrajam. The Vrajavasis who were just, you know, relaxed, and suddenly they are exposed to this fire. So as per the translation given by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, it says here that a great fire blazed up within the dry summer forest. So actually, nobody actually goes to a forest to set fire, you know. Nobody goes for that purpose. But suddenly a fire can blaze up. Srila Prabhupada has written in several places that forest fires can originate from friction between the bamboos. And in a very scientific way, Prabhupada also has explained at several places how this happens. He says that the wood or the bamboos, they store up energy from the sun. So, you know, they store up the energy from the sun. So, they are ready to be ignited. And a small spark can sometimes trigger off a fire, which can be disastrous, really disastrous. So, this is how fires can originate. And, of course, our Acharya Srila Sanatana Goswami has said that perhaps a loyal friend of Kaliya had assumed the form of a forest fire. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that perhaps the fire was manifest by a demon who was follower of Kamsas. But very often we find that fires can originate due to extreme heat over a long period of time. And the temperatures are always at a very high level, and just a little inducement by some fire, the whole thing can, you know, start burning. And especially if there are gusty winds, then, you know, we have, you know, literally tornadoes, you know, of fire which can devastate the entire village. So I was just going through some statistics and found that there have been several disasters in the history of mankind, and some of them were very devastating. It is described that the fire in a place called Prestigo in Wisconsin, it broke out in 1871, long ago, and it killed 2,500 people. And 1.2 million acres of land was completely burned. This is what happens. The land becomes completely scorched and no more fit for any kind of vegetation. Then it is described, there are several examples, I have just taken one or two. A fast-moving inferno swallowed up 3 million acres of woodlands. This happened sometime in 20th century. Then it is said that the wildfire in China, which happened in 1987, during our tenure here, blazed for nearly a month and killed 2,000 people. It took exactly 1 month, you know, for the fire to be quenched. It was so bad. Then the inferno in Victoria, which happened in very recently, 2009, it is believed to have, you know, actually affected 1.1 million acres of land and killed 173 people and injured many. So we find that the nature of such wildfires is simply to devastate. Of course, nothing happens without the will of the Lord, but it happens sometimes due to, you know, negligence on part of the humans, slight negligence, and there can be a fire. There can be a man-made disasters also. So I was wondering whether there have been any forest fires in India. I could not come across any as such, but there have been several man-made fires due to negligence or due to carelessness. Of course, the most recent fire which we read in newspapers was last year in June, where Mantralaya, you know, there was a fire in Mantralaya. No, it doesn't matter if thousands of people are killed elsewhere, but something happening in Mantralaya, very, very difficult for people, you know, to accept. But it happened there. And then we have the example of Kumbakonam, where there was a fire in which 91 children, you know, died. So just to highlight the fact that disasters of this type induced by fire are very, very devastating and can really be a source of great trouble. So have there been any fires which are comparable to Samvartaka Agni? Now, just as there are the Samvartika, you know, clouds which inundate the entire earth with water, everything gets submerged. So this happens at the time of dissolution, at the time of pralay. So there can be fires of that. There are Samvartika fires which can also, you know, burn out the entire existence. But there has been a fire that has been created by Bali Maharaj, and there is a description of it in the Srimad Bhagavat in the 8th canto. The verse is, Srishtaha daitena sumahan vanni swashana sarathi samvartakaha iva ugro vibudha dhvajinim adak. So a great devastating fire by Bali Maharaj. This happened between the during the battle between the demigods and demons. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it began burning all the soldiers of the demigods. So the demigods, you know, Vibhuta means, you know, demigods. So all of them, you know, were getting burnt. And it is described that the fire was accompanied by blasting winds and seemed as terrible as the Samvartaka fire, which appears at the time of dissolution. So this is how it is. So I wanted to share a few thoughts on fire. And we all know that everything originates from Krishna, his Sarvakarana Karanam. The elements, Bhumi Rapo Analo Vayu Kam Mano Buddhirevacha, these are also created by the Supreme Lord. They are his separated different energies. And amazingly, all these elements in their grossest form can actually destroy. There can be destruction due to, you know, earth. If the earth, you know, just starts sinking, there is mass destruction. If there is tornadoes due to, you know, the air, due to the vayu, there is disaster. If fire breaks out, there is disaster. So each one of these, which are actually beneficial to all of us, we can't live without this. Our human body is made up of all this. We cannot live without it. But at the same time, they can also assume dangerous proportions and really destroy everything. This is what we realize. And of course, for everything, the Lord is the source. So, what are the characteristics of fire? Bhagavatam has information on almost everything. In Bhagavatam, Kapildev describes the symptoms of fire. He says, Dyotanam pachanam panam adanam himamardanam tejaso vruttayatu eta shoshanam kshutrut evacha. So he describes, it is described by, in the, this is actually description of fire in the third canto, in the 26th chapter by Kapildev to his mother, Devahuti. So he is telling her, what are the symptoms of fire? Very graphically he says that the first symptom of fire is illumination. Fire shows up, you know, gives light as well as it emanates heat. So you cannot imagine fire without these two things. Unless, you know, you light a matchstick, which also is fire, but it doesn't have the same intensity. It might get extinguished very easily. So says that the ability to provide illumination and the ability to heat, the ability to cook something, without, we can't imagine cooking without heat. Now, you may use, you know, microwave, or you may use, you know, something else, but a stove or whatever. Finally, a fire in its form to, you know, heat up things can alone be used for cooking purposes. So, there is existence of fire within us also, within the stomach, isn't it? So, Kapildev says that it is also there for the purpose of cooking. Pachanam. He says, then talks about digestion. Now, if there is no fire within our stomach, then the food that we eat cannot be digested. Actually, fire in this case is, if I may use a little bit of chemistry, is hydrochloric acid. It's amazing how the human body is built up. The hydrochloric acid, you know, is the one that actually dissolves, melts all the proteins, and, you know, they are digested, and eventually you get, you know, nutrition out of it. Now, if the hydrochloric acid, it is so situated in the stomach that it doesn't penetrate other soft membranes, but it still, you know, breaks into pieces the protein molecules. So that is hydrochloric acid. So basically, Ayurveda, people go to Ayurvedic doctors and say, you know, doctor, I don't feel hunger and I don't feel thirst. So it's called, you know, Agni Mandyam. So Agni, if the fire, you know, the level of fire within our body is not adequate, then the Ayurvedic doctor, you know, will start giving us, you know, some medicines whereby the secretion of bile, you know, will increase. Now, if the bile again is too much, then, you know, we fall sick. But if there is not enough bile secretion, then we cannot digest our food, and then we fall sick. It is so intriguing, human body itself. Everything is creation of the Lord. So intriguing. So, in every situation, there is difficulty. So, the doctor will treat us, you know, and give us, you know, some medicine for increasing the bile secretion so that we can get well. And then Shri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha. That's a form of fire. He says, I am Vaishwanaro Bhutva. He says that I am in that. And then what do I do? Pranapana Samayuktaha Pachami Anna Chaturvidham. We sing every day, Chaturvidha Bhagavat Prasado. So, four types of food. So, this helped by Vaishwanara, Krishna in the form of Vaishwanara. So, elsewhere, he says that, Krishna says that, Vasunam Pavakaha Chasmi. So he said, among the Vasus, I am the fire. And then the demigods, in their prayers to Krishna, they say, Agni Mukham Yasyatu Jata Vedaha. They say that fire which is born for the sake of accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the origin everywhere is Krishna, in one sense. And then there's a beautiful episode in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which concerns Amrish Maharaj. We won't go into all the details of the pastime, but suffice it to say that Durvas Muni was very much annoyed with Ambarish Maharaj because he broke his fast with little water on the advice of, you know, the priests there who wanted him to, you know, break his fast during Parana time. Durvas Muni came back. He felt that he had been insulted by this Vaishnava, Ambarish Maharaj, who had actually no such intention whatsoever. And then he took out his hair and created a monster, ostensibly, you know, to kill Ambarish Maharaj. But just then, Sudarshan Chakra manifested itself. And then it not only killed that monster, but started chasing Durvas Muni. To put it in short, Durvas Muni started running from place to place, actually from planet to planet. So he went to Brahmaloka. Lord Brahma pleaded his helplessness. He went to Shivaloka. Shiva pleaded his helplessness. Then he thought, my shelter can be Lord Vishnu, who has control over Sudarshan. That's what he surmised was. So he went to Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu also expressed his inability. He said that you better go and take shelter of Ambarish Maharaj, from where all the process began. So as they say, go back to square one. So go back to Ambarish Maharaj. So he started running. Immediately he came to the planet Earth, and then, you know, he ran to Ambarish Maharaj. Sudarshan Chakra is still chasing him. And then he offered his obeisances. He actually put his head on Ambarish Maharaj's lotus feet. Now, when that happened, actually, Ambarish, as a pure devotee, he was really naturally very humble, Prabhupada writes, and also meek. And he was greatly embarrassed to see that great Durvasa was falling at his feet. Durvas Muni was justified in doing what he was doing. He had instructions from Lord Vishnu. But he was very embarrassed. He just couldn't take it that the great Durvasa, you know, is falling at my feet. This is the nature of the devotees like Ambarish Maharaj. Great, but very humble. So he just then, he had only one resort. What he did was that he offered prayers to Sudarshan Chakra. Very beautiful prayers.
Tvam agnihi bhagavan surya, tvam somo jyotishampatihi, tvam apaha tvam chitihi, vyoma vayu matra indriyani cha.
So he is offering prayers and he is saying to the Sudarshan Chakra, O Sudarshan Chakra, you are fire. You are the most powerful. Bhagavan in this sense is very powerful. You are the most powerful sun. You are the moon, the master of all luminaries. You are the five sense objects, that is sound, touch, form, taste and smell, and you are the senses also. So Sudarshan Chakra is being eulogized by Ambarish Maharaj. And else in another verse he says,
Sudarshana namastubhyam sahasrarachyuta priyaha sarvastra ghatin vipraya swasti bhuya idaspate.
So he's praying and he's saying that you are the most favorite of the Supreme Lord Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your thousand spokes, destroyer of all weapons. I offer my respectful obeisances to you. With this these verses and more verses, he actually prays to Sudarshan Chakra. He says that kindly give shelter and auspiciousness. Shelter and auspiciousness to this Brahmana. So eventually, when Ambarish Maharaj prayed like this to this, you know, blaze of fire that was emanating from Sudarshan Chakra, he prayed. Sudarshan Chakra relented. And Durvasa was saved. The chapter is entitled Durvasa Saved. So Durvas Muni was saved. So this is the result of, you know, trying to hurt a pure devotee of the Lord, a Krishna conscious devotee of the Lord. So it is just like it like kind of a rebounds on you. So the lesson to be learnt is that never trifle with a Vaishnava devotee. He himself may not retaliate, but the Lord is ever ready, or Lord's, you know, associates are ever ready to take care of the situation. So all that is required is that we have to have implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and serve Him very nicely. So there is also an interesting story. Of course, we hear the Puranas, how, you know, Lord Shiva uses the fire from his third eye and burns, you know, Cupid. We also read how Sati Devi immolated herself in Daksha's kingdom by generating, by her yoga, Shakti, generating fire within herself. So there are so many other stories. We hear also about Dhritarashtra, you know, generating fire. But there is one interesting story also in Srimad Bhagavatam, which I would like to share with all of you. This story is about the 60,000 sons of King Sagara. Very interesting story. So actually, King Sagara, he wanted to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing Ashwamedha Yajna. He wanted to perform Ashwamedha Yajna so to be able to prove, to be able to satisfy and please the Supreme Lord. Now, Indra came on the scene. Usually we find Indra playing the villain's role, especially when there is an Ashwamedha Yajna to be performed. Time and again in Srimad Bhagavatam, these episodes occur. So Indra came there and he took away the horse, which was actually meant to be offered to the fire or the Yajna. So he took away the horse, and very mischievously, he tied the horse very near Kapil Muni's ashram, who was immersed in totally meditating on the Supreme Lord, completely immersed in that. So he went and tied it there. Now the 60,000 sons of Sagar, they gave a chase. They wanted to now look for the horse. If the horse is not there, then how do we perform the Yajna? So they were looking for him. They searched all over. And finally they arrived at Kapil Muni's ashram. When they arrived there in Kapil Muni's ashram, they saw that the horse meant for the sacrifice was tied there. And Kapil Muni, deeply immersed in his meditation on the Supreme. So now Indra, while tying the horse there, simultaneously so arranged that all the sons of Sagar lost their intelligence. Now, when Buddhinasha is the ultimate, Buddhinashat Vinashati. So these 60,000, you know, sons, they could not use their intelligence and think that here is a sage performing, you know, he's sitting in yogic posture and he's performing, you know, he's doing meditation on Krishna. They could not think like that. All, they lost their rationality, so to say, lost all their intelligence. And they said, here is the man. Grab him, kill him. He has stolen our horse. Here is the thief who has stolen our horse. So, you know, in their, due to lack of intelligence, they started blurting out and they raised their weapons and went near Kapil Muni, and they wanted to really harm him. But at that time, Kapil Muni just opened his eyes. His glance fell on these people who had come to kill him. And it is described that they were bhasmasat abhavat kshanat. So they were completely burned to ashes within a trice, within a moment, all of them were burned to ashes. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, writes a beautiful purport. He writes that, I'll put it in my own words, because he says that, don't commit the mistake of thinking that Kapil Muni, you know, generated fire from his eyes. He generated fire from his eyes, and therefore, you know, all of them were killed by his tapobal. No. So these 60 sons, he says that because they insulted Mahat Vyatikramaha Hataha, they insulted a very, very pure devotee of the Lord, and due to this action on their part, the temperatures within their own body, they rose, and rose so high that eventually, completely, they were turned into ashes. In other words, Prabhupada indicates in the purport that Kapil Muni was completely in the mode of sattva guna. He was not prone to anger at all. And whatever happened, happened because the body temperature rose high. Now, this is manifestation of fire due to the body temperatures. Similarly, all those disasters which I spoke about, there also lot of investigations were done, lot of reports were written, especially in legislation, was worked out in Australia after this disaster occurred. See, in all their finding, they said that the reason for the fire was that the temperature remained high consistently over a period of time. Even science agrees with this fact. That's what sparked off the fires. Here, these sons of Sagar were completely destroyed. So, we find therefore that fire is ubiquitous in our lives. So, according to the Vedic tradition, Agnihotra sacrifices are performed, were being performed once upon a time in every household practically. The Zoroastrians, they worship fire. We have fire temples. So, fire is something that, it's not that because fire is dangerous, we don't use fire, we use a fire. But fire is something very, very auspicious. The goldsmith purifies gold, by putting impure gold in fire. It burns off all the impurities. And finally, I'd like to conclude with an episode which, what is his name? Saurahari? Prabhupada's disciple? Hari Saurahari. Yeah, Hari Saurahari. I remember reading that he describes in one particular context that there was a person by the name of Ali who became very favorable to Krishna consciousness, and he would hold very, very long discussions with Srila Prabhupada on Vaishnavism. So, once he asked a question which many of us always ask, that if we were once, with the Supreme Lord Krishna, then why did we break away from him? Why did we fall? So, he gives the example that if one is attracted to a fruit, one eats one fruit, then one always remembers it with joy that, we have eaten such and such a fruit. So when people had enjoyed, living entity had enjoyed the fruit of association with the Supreme Lord Krishna, why did he have to, fall off? Why did he have to separate from the Lord? That question he asked. And Srila Prabhupada very patiently answered that question. He said that the Supreme Lord Krishna, he's like a great fire, big fire. And there are small sparks, small particles in that fire. So when the particles fall off from the fire, that particle is no longer a fire anymore. So they have separated themselves from the great fire that the Supreme Lord is. And because that spark is away from the source, then that spark loses its capacity to act as a fire. Similarly, the living entities have fallen off. And then he told that Mr. Ali that, why do you worry about all these facts? The fact is that, you have fallen now. Try to find a remedy for that. Try to see how you can go back home, back to Godhead. And he says, take to the process of Krishna consciousness. Chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the eventual solution to all the fiery problems of this material world are to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. We sing every day Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, every day in his prayer he says, Samsara Davanala Lida Loka. So, for to quench the fire of our material existence, which is like Davanal, the only solution is that there should be continuous shower of rains, then only the fire will be quenched. Similarly, we need the continuous shower of the mercy of the spiritual master. And many of us, almost all of us here, have been fortunate to get that mercy. So we have to make the best of this situation and try to succeed in our endeavor to please the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Any comments, Prabhuji? No questions. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki jai.